of Exodus, chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, we have a handout. Chapter 10, Exodus chapter 10, verse 13. 13 through 20. Exodus chapter 10, 13 through 20. Okay, so we're dealing with Moses and Pharaoh. Moses and Pharaoh. So these events occurred 1500 BC, and we're 2000 years after Christ, so 3500 years ago. So you think of this, Pharaoh, who rejected the Lord, has died and gone to hell. He's been in hell for 3500 years. Think of that. Constant pain and so on. You know, in hell, there's no spigot for cold water. Ever think of that? So you ever taken a hot shower and it's too hot, and you turn to cold, got to get cold, get a little cool in there. Those that are in hell today, there's no spigot for cold water. They're burning in the flames of fire. And so we're thankful for the testimony that we have of for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. We're with the Lord, and so we're not going to experience that. But for Pharaoh, you think of that. I remember one time when our seminary class, when I was up in Wisconsin, we went to the University of Chicago, and we saw the mummy of a Pharaoh there, and he was about 3,500 years as a mummy. And I thought then, this man, if he never trusts the Lord, which I doubt that he ever did, has been burning in hell for this period of time. And so we need to consider the privilege that we have of knowing the Lord as Savior and make sure our hearts are right with the Lord. And we have assurance of salvation, and that's our heavenly home. And so we think of Pharaoh. So it's not just some character. He's an actual person somewhere. He's an actual person somewhere. So where is he? All right, so we're in chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 13. And so here is the rejection once again by Pharaoh. This is after the hail, and now we're going to be looking at the eighth plague, the plague of the locusts. All of these plagues related to Egypt in special ways. Of course, there were deities behind all these plagues or the elements that the plagues dealt with there. So they had deities for all these elements, and yet the deities couldn't do anything. So we see here in verse 13, Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And so here we have Moses obeyed. So in the obedience to the Lord, Moses stretched out the rod, and the Lord brought an east wind all day and all night. Into the morning, the wind brought the locusts for the eighth plague. All right, so he's already had seven plagues, and he's seen that the Lord has meant what he said. He gave space for repentance. He used these two men as his servants, and their God had power over all these elements. And so he recognized that. Anyway, they were carried by the wind from the Arabian Peninsula into Egypt. And so you look there on the map, the Arabian Peninsula. Instead of going into Canaan, Promised Land, they went into Egypt. So in this case, we have Moses obeyed and the wind obeyed. All right, so we see the importance of obedience. Think of Moses, if he never would have moved on past his denials and negations and resistance to the Lord. Or of course, the Lord had Aaron, but Lord used Moses and he used Aaron, and he gave great privilege to Pharaoh, and yet Pharaoh rejected it. Verse 14-15, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such, for they covered the face of the whole earth. so that the land was darkened, and they did eat herb in the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs in the field through all the land of Egypt. So here we see another feral plague with the locusts in this time. So the locust plague was very grievous as the locusts paused on the coast. So here they come to the coast and they're pausing there. And then the Egyptians would see the blackness of all these locusts getting ready to swarm on them, they invaded all of Egypt. So Egypt's some 520 miles north to south. So I made a trip a few weeks ago, go out to western Pennsylvania, which is about 520 miles. So that was quite a trip. Took me 8 or 9 hours to get there and so on. So that's the distance north to south. Or is it north to south? That's how Egypt considers it. It's north to south. That's the way they look at it. But anyway, from our perspective, north to south, 500 miles plus for the land of Egypt. So that's a multitude of locusts, to be sure. And the Lord was in control of all of them. These locusts were unique in the history of Egypt before and after. So never before like this, although they had locusts, and never after this as well. It was unique. The uniqueness was because they covered all the land and brought darkness. They consumed every green thing, including the herb and the fruit trees left by the hail throughout the land of Egypt. And so anything that was left, they consumed. So locust plague. The prophet Joel makes reference to locust plague in chapters 1 and 2. So we have the locust plague, 16-17. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. So notice the language that he uses here, verse 17. And now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. All right, so quite a statement here, quite a statement on his part. He knows the language. Think of that. He knows the language for sure. And he'd been around these Jewish men and probably other avenues as well, but he knew the language. So immediately in haste, he called for the dual return. He admitted more this time, saying, I have sinned against the Lord your God. Now notice he's using the biblical name for the Lord, Jehovah. And against you. So notice that. Against the Lord, your God, and against you. Sin against the Lord is also sin against the preacher for the Lord, and vice versa. And so, you sin against the preacher, sin against the Lord. Sin against the Lord, sin against the preacher, the pastor, or whomever the spiritual leader is. And so, Jeremiah brought this out. So earlier he said, I have sinned this time, acknowledging that the Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. That's back in chapter 9. So this time, I sinned one time. All right, now we are sinners. We constantly sin. 1 John chapter 1 deals with the fact that we sin and we have a sinful nature. So both are true. And so... that's the background for, or this is the background for that. He knew the biblical language, but was he serious? He was sorry for the consequences. Look at that. But really had no fruits for repentance. Matthew 3:7. So you think of that. Sorry for the consequences, but no fruits for repentance. And so... we need to demonstrate a changed life there, fruits for repentance. The Lord said, those by the wayside are they that hear. So this is Luke 8:12, one of those parables. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so there's a spiritual battle that goes on when the truth is given out. And Satan is there ready to attack and undermine the message there. And the old nature for the person is there ready to reject and so on. So there's a spiritual reality that goes on every time the truth is given out. And the Lord talked about that. In this case, the devil comes and takes the word out of their heart. So notice there's the preaching of the word, but then there's the devil who comes and takes the preaching away from them. So still negotiating with Moses and Aaron. So he was a great negotiator. He knew how to do this. But really he was negotiating with Jehovah. That's really what people do. They negotiate with the Lord. You let me do this, I'll do this. But sometimes there's a third party in here. Moses, Aaron, or the pastors. Think of that. Pharaoh asked them now to forgive my sin. So, okay, Pharaoh, what sin are we talking about? What was your sin, Pharaoh? Does not forgive my sin. What was your sin? Which was what? Basically, it was scornfully disbelieving the Lord's warning about the plague of the hail. That was a sin. It's not the first time he ever sinned, but that was a sin. So he was a man of sin, to be sure. He had the old nature. It came from Adam. All right, so cleverly, the king of Egypt used two different words for only. So here's his cleverness. Now, we wouldn't see this in the English here. Nothing wrong with the English translation here, but the two different words for only. So he's playing a game here. He's playing a game. So the first word for only is ach. It's a particle of assurance indicating that he was done deceiving the Hebrews and Jehovah. Basically, he's saying, now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. So basically, I'm done. I'm done with deceiving. I'm done with deceiving, the idea that. The particle of assurance, indicating he was done deceiving Hebrews and Jews. Only this sin, and no more. I'm done. Only now. That's it. I'm done sinning. Okay, try that sometime. All right? But that's what he's saying. And I'm done deceiving. All right, so that's the first only that he uses there. He wanted them to entreat the Lord because he really meant it. I really, really, really mean it. On a stack of Bibles, you know. How does that stack have to be? One Bible? No, 10. 10 enough? No, 20. How high does that stack of Bibles have to be to make you convince somebody you are done doing something, right? Stack of Bibles, all right. Of course, he didn't say that, but that's what we say. And the higher the stack, the more we mean it, right? A stack as high as the Empire State Building. Oh, you really mean it now. That's right. You really mean it. Yeah, I really mean it. Yeah. So he's done deceiving them. Now, the second only was a different word, rock, referring to only this locust plague of death. So I'm only deceiving relative to this plague, referring to the locust plague of death, which would kill everything, including many Egyptians and animals. So basically he's saying, I'm done deceiving, but I'm really only talking about this one sin. All right, so I'm done all deceiving, but only this sin. You big hypocrite. We don't ever do that, do we? So he wasn't very truthful. He's playing the game. He's playing Moses and Aaron. No, really, he's playing the Lord, and that's what we end up doing. We play the Lord. Only this time. Okay, Lord, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm under conviction. Deal with this, and I'm done with this. But then temptation comes around. I'm not done with it, right? That's human nature. So the Lord knew all this. And so here he's clever. He is the clever man here. He thinks he can deceive, get away with it. He's clever in his negotiating here. So let's do this, let's do this. All right, I'll commit to this, but now I want you to commit to this. And, you know, he's thinks he's a very clever individual here. So, 10:18. And he went out from the Pharaoh, that's Moses, and entreated the Lord. So he goes to the Lord and entreats the Lord. Moses was developing patience. So we're down to the eighth plague now, okay? All right, so he was developing patience with this deceiver, and Moses was hardening his heart, just like we heard in the prayer this morning. He was hardening his heart. In what way was Moses hardening his heart? He's hardening it in faith. Hardening it in faith. The just shall live by faith. See, we bet that's written on the wall around here somewhere, don't we? Right here. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. By the way, we're reminded by somebody put that up there. Who did that? Kirsten did. She painted that. All right, got a reminder of that. So anyway, he wants to be entreated by the Lord here. So he's developing patience with this deceiver. And by the way, let's look here in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Remember the passage there. Romans chapter 5. And let's pick this up in verse 2. By whom also, Romans 5:2, we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Is that all right? Patience, then, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. And so, as we have patience, and the Lord's taking us through challenges and so on, we develop this, we gain from this patience experience, and this leads to hope. And so our hope is increased. And so you think of the trials that you have early in the Christian life, trials to you. All trials are always difficult, but you look back on some of the trials you had in your early Christian life, you think, boy, these were nothing in comparison to the big trial I'm going through right now. But the Lord's given you experience, and he's helping you grow in your hope through experience that he gives. So here's Moses. He's developing patience. He's developing patience, and he's growing and hardening his heart. And so is Aaron. By the way, so is the reader. That's us. All right? And so, harden his heart in faith. And that Jehovah would indeed answer prayer. So Moses believed the Lord would answer his prayers. He entreated for Pharaoh. Pharaoh apparently believed as well, to that extent. So Pharaoh believed that the Lord would take away the plague. But his faith was not sufficient to believe that the Lord would save a sinner like him. See, so there's levels of faith. And so he had faith, but his faith wasn't sufficient to save him. All right, so we recognize this. Again, Moses entreated him, just like he did back there in 8:30, to the Lord. Then verse 19, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them to the Red Sea, where there remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. So notice how thorough his answered prayer was. very thorough, not one locust left. So in this case, the gracious Jehovah gave Pharaoh another chance. I'm giving you another chance to be true or false to his promise. So in the parenthesis, how many chances does God give the sinner to repent and believe? You think of that. How many chances does he give? Well, we might say, once somebody hears the gospel truth, every time they take another breath, they're given another chance to pray a prayer and ask the Lord to save through repentance. In fact, the Lord heard and answered the prayer on behalf of an unsaved man who continued to disbelieve. So sometimes people say, Lord only answers believers' prayers. No, that's not right. He answered an unsaved man's prayer who up to this point had not believed, and the Lord knew he wouldn't believe, not because the Lord wasn't going to allow him to believe, but because it was in such a hardened state of unbelief, he didn't believe. But the Lord answered prayer anyway. I'm going to give you another opportunity. Pharaoh, who knew... Pharaoh knew who was over all, and he knew the Lord's servants had a personal, powerful relationship with God of the Hebrews. The sovereign Lord was over the mighty, strong west wind. See, so back there in Mark chapter 4, remember when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and the winds come and so on. Let's look at the passage so we have the truth there. In Mark chapter 4, just like we have in this passage, Mark chapter 4, and the Lord deals with the wind as they're on the Sea of Galilee, which was fearful to them. Verse 41 here, Mark 4:41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So here the Lord demonstrated to them who he was. He's got power over the sea. All right. And so the Lord had power over the mighty strong west wind. And he had power over millions of locusts and cast them into the sea, Red Sea, so none remained. By the way, where was their deity of over the locusts? He was on vacation that week, so couldn't do anything. But the Lord did. The Lord's never on vacation. And then 10:20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. So with the prediction of coming locusts, Pharaoh did not harden his heart in faith, but in deception. So we already talked about his deception there. Just as he and his servants, which would include Jannes and Jambres, remember them, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3, remember that? Jannes and Jambres, these were the magicians that withstood Moses, that we know a couple by name, had hardened our hearts, that is if they're still alive. We don't know if they're still alive. If they survived the first seven plagues, we don't know. Hardened their hearts in the earlier plagues. What were they? Blood, frogs, flies, lice, murrain, boils, hail, and now locusts. They had the opportunity to harden their hearts in faith. So think of that. I wonder if they did. If they didn't harden their hearts in faith, where are they today? You see, I mean, that's a question really, really ask. So we come down to Pharaoh. What a privileged man in human history was Pharaoh and the magicians who God raised up. Let's notice that, Romans 9, once again, the Lord raised him up. Lord raises up men. He raises up people. Romans chapter 9:17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this cause, this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So here we have the testimony of the Lord's name was declared throughout, because what could Pharaoh do? So we see the plagues. How were the Egyptians ever going to cover up these plagues and not let them out in history? No, they went out. People knew about all this. So what a privileged man Pharaoh was. He was raised up and given the privilege to meet with Moses and Aaron and see the workings of the God of the Hebrews, Jehovah. And he had 10 opportunities. And what did he do with the opportunities? As I mentioned there, the Lord gave them, Pharaoh and his magicians and people, great revelatory truth with time to repent. Because usually the next day, time to repent. And they squandered it for all eternity. What a tragedy. What a tragedy for all eternity. Whereas those who have put their faith in Christ, they're in the bliss of glory right now. And we're thankful for that blessing and hope and testimony and so on. But those who have rejected, they've squandered the opportunity. So the Lord gives us time in life. 70, 80 years, Moses says there in Psalm 90 or thereabouts. And yet whatever time he has given us, we have responsibility to repent, believe the Lord, not to squander it all. Because we don't know when death is going to hit. And when it does, if we squandered it, where are we going to be? There's only two choices. And so we find the tragedy of Pharaoh here, where it's not the mean God who didn't allow him to repent, and Pharaoh wanted to repent. No, Pharaoh didn't want to repent. He hardened in unbelief. And when obstacles come our way, so we are challenged. Are we going to harden our heart in faith to see the Lord deliver us? Are we going to harden our heart in bitterness and denial and rejection, thinking he can't help me? How are we going to harden our heart? So we're going to harden our heart. So we're going to do it one way or the other. So we see in the case of Pharaoh, hardened his heart in unbelief, and eventually he suffered the consequences. So we can learn these from this. And learned that he had all the terminology. He had all the theology he knew he needed to be saved. And yet what did he do? He rejected it all. He went through the language, but he lied. He lied to the Lord, tried to play games with the Lord, and severe consequences when you do that. And so we can learn these messages from this passage and from Pharaoh. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the time we've had to be in the book of Exodus thus far and through chapter 10. We pray that you'll help us to learn from this and harden our hearts in faith as Moses was growing in faith and others, and help us to learn from the passage at hand of the need for us as we read this, not just about a story of the past, but it's about us. Where are we spiritually in our hearts and lives, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.